Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah has so many prophecies of Jesus' life and birth. Those wonderful prophecies that we so often hear, Isaiah 7, the virgin will be with child. She'll bring forth a son. You will call him Emmanuel. Isaiah 9, about his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then we come to Isaiah 40 and these wonderful words that God wrote of the coming of his Messiah. Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass. All their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Today, I want to talk about, as we conclude our series for Christmas, we've talked about it was just at the right time that Jesus came. And then we began to unpack about why. We talked about God wanting expectancy. How today, as we await the second coming of Christ, there are few who are expectant of His coming. And then we talked about how God created a situation of desperation, because only when people are desperate do they truly begin to seek after Christ. As long as people are comfortable, they say, not now. Not me, not here. But when they begin to see the desperateness, then people turn to Christ. And today I want to talk about the last reason that God waited so long, and that was preparation. He waited for expectancy, for desperation, and he waited for preparation. Notice that God said that there was to be preparation made. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Have you prepared the way for the Lord in your life? Jerusalem was unprepared. They said, oh, he's over there, and never went to find him. Bethlehem was unprepared. They said, no room. Nazareth was unprepared. They said, isn't this the carpenter's son? Why should we listen to him? The Roman world was unprepared. They said, "Are you a king? Crucify him." Let me ask, are you prepared for him today? And there are three specific things that it says. It says, verse 4, "Every valley shall be raised up, and every mountain and hill made low." And I want to talk, beginning this morning, about mountains that need to be leveled for Christ to come. First of all, there is the mountain of the love of sin. Now, some people will say, sin is a mountain, but do not be deceived. God can deal with sin. God said, "I am sending a Savior. You will call His name Jesus, because He will save His people from their sin." God will deal with sin, but it is the love of sin that is a mountain that stands in the way. And perhaps that mountain has grown in your heart or in my heart, where sin becomes master and Lord, and we will do anything to guard our sin. The Gospel of John says it this way. Everyone knows John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son." But very seldom do we know the rest of that. Look with me at John chapter 3, verse 19. John 3, verse 19. John 3:19. "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world." That's what Christmas is all about. People say, "How narrow-minded of you Christians to say that your way is the only way." I say, thank God there is a way. The problem is not that there are so many ways that we can't choose between them. The problem is, before that hour, there was no way. Your way, my way, the Baptist way, the Catholic way, the Muslim way, the Confucian way, the animism way, they all are a bridge that leads to nowhere. They fall short and you fall into the chasm. The whole world was darkness. Light has now come into the world. Oh, but here's the tragic thing. But men love darkness instead of the light, because their deeds are evil. I don't want to know. I don't want to hear. Reed had a very famous missionary said, "I went to Africa because I didn't think it was fair that men and women should perish in hell forever without at least being given warning. I thought they deserved to know the truth, and I thought that when I went there, they would long to hear the good news of the gospel. But when I got there, I was sadly disappointed. They didn't want to hear the gospel. They had no desire for the gospel. They were happy in their sin, and they loved it that way." That's not an African problem, is it? That's an American problem too, isn't it? There are mountains of the love of sin. And then second of all, there are mountains of apathy. When you're dead, you're dead. Who knows? I don't care. I don't know how it's possible to age without knowing Christ. I don't know how it's possible to maintain that apathy, but it's there. To know that every day, to look in the mirror and every day see yourself getting a little older, a little further from the top of the hill. And you know, if you're over the hill, how is it possible to be over the hill and never have reached the top? But you can, can't you? And to age one day at a time and know that tomorrow's just going to bring another pain, another ache, another day. And yet we're apathetic. Oh, I don't know. I hope I'll make it. I think I'll be okay. You know the first thing that man in sin did? You can read about it in Genesis 3:9. You don't have to turn there, but write that down, Genesis 3:9. Because that's the first thing that man in sin did. It says, and when God was walking in the garden, he ran and hid. And that's still what we do. We hide from God. We play hide and seek. We pretend everything's okay. We smile on the outside and die on the inside. We put up a brave front, and yet when the bullets start flying, there's no one saying, thank God I'm an atheist. Revelation 6:16 says, at the end of time, the people will cry to the rocks and hills, the rocks and caves, fall on us and hide us. And we're hiding from God. Mountains of apathy. I don't care. I'll be okay. I am staggered by the mountains of apathy that greeted God in the flesh. And third of all, there are mountains of ignorance. There are mountains of ignorance. I don't know how many people I talk to that just say, I don't want to know. I don't want to hear that. Well, that's your opinion. I don't want to hear it. Tell it to somebody who cares. Mountains of ignorance. Mountains of ignorance. We live in a land where you could have a Bible. You can now download the Bible in 30-some translations onto your phone. And yet people have never read a gospel. We have what generations of people had never dreamed of. Just don't want to know. Mountains of ignorance. But here's what 2 Peter 3:5 says. 2 Peter 3:5. 2 Peter 3:5. The NIV translates that this way, 2 Peter 3:5. It says, for in this they deliberately forget. A deliberate act. They deliberately forget. It's a deliberate act. The King James says it this way, in this they are willfully ignorant. Ever talked with a child that doesn't want to listen to you? And they put their hands over their ears like this and they start saying real loud, I can't hear you, I can't hear you, I can't hear you. That's what we do with God. It's not that we can't know. It's that we don't want to know. We say, I'm a good person. Well, we know that that's basically not true. We know what's in our hearts. We try to deceive ourselves. I was talking with someone a while ago, and they're talking about how, I'm sick of being good. This is a person that had lived with someone for years outside of marriage, but, you know, I'm a good person. I've really been good. Because I've sort of been faithful to the person that I'm being unfaithful with. How commendable I am. But Jesus said, have you ever looked at someone with lust in your heart? Wow, look at her. Wow, look at him. You've committed adultery. There's one of the Ten Commandments. You ever told a lie? Show of hands, here who has not told a lie. What does that make you if you've told a lie? Human. Well, I'm not a liar. I may have told a lie, but I'm not a liar. Really? How many lies do you have to tell before you're a liar? 1,000? 1,000,000? You know, I've only told 999,999. I'm safe. I'm under 1,000,000. I'm not a liar yet. There's two of the Ten Commandments. How about, this is a bad one because it's Christmas time. How about you will not covet what your neighbor has? Anybody look through the Christmas catalogs without covet in their heart? Oh, I want this. Oh, I want that. Oh, I want the other thing. Oh, I want it. Any exceptions? There's three of the Ten Commandments. How about who here has never taken God's name in vain? You know, I hear people all the time, it comes out and you say, excuse me, I don't like the way you're, what, I didn't say nothing. We don't even hear ourselves. There's four of the Ten Commandments. Do we have to keep going? But we're deliberately ignorant. We look at all the evidence and go, not me. Mountains of ignorance. And then there's probably the greatest mountain of all, I believe, for this day and for that. There's the mountain of just loving this world the way it is. Oh, we complain a lot, but in the end, we think that we like it the way it is down here pretty well. You know, there are not a lot of people that sing that song, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are up there somewhere." You know, there aren't too many people that sing that song anymore. We're really comfortable in this world. And Isaiah says the mountains have to be removed. What mountains are there in your heart keeping you from the Christ of Christmas today? It's time to get some preparation. It's time to go after those mountains. But then that's not enough. Notice what else it says. It says, every mountain and hill will be made low, but it also says the rough ground shall become level. There's not only mountains, there is rough ground. These may not be mountains, but they're things that slow you down and keep you from going forward. They're not unassailable heights. They're not the Himalayas. But they're things that you just look at them and go, oh, too difficult, and search for another way. Let me give you three of those rough places. The first rough place is, I can do it myself. We don't want a Savior. We want a helping hand. I work with kids who are really young, and often cognitively not able to comprehend things, and you try to help them with things, and their response is, I can do it myself. You hold out your hand, we've got some 2-year-olds here. Some are just turned 4. Ever seen a 3-year-old do that? Never, right? No! I'll do it! I'll do it myself. And we go to God. God, thank you, but no thank you. I'll do it myself. How often do people say, I've got my own religion? Well, if your religion was good enough, Jesus wouldn't have had to pray, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from my hand. And God said, hey, there's plenty of ways. They're doing it just fine on their own, right? Never. If there was another way, Jesus wouldn't have gone to the cross. If one of us in the whole world how often people will say things like, well, you know, I'm not a Mother Teresa. If Mother Teresa could have made it, Jesus wouldn't have gone to the cross. Well, I'm no Billy Graham. If Billy Graham could have made it, Jesus wouldn't have gone to the cross. If Mahatma Gandhi could have made it, Jesus wouldn't have gone to the cross, because he prayed, if there is any other way, Father, let this cup pass from me. And there was no other way. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. Paul indicts the Jews, but it's not just the Jews. It's us too. Romans 10, 3. Romans 10, 3. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and is sought... And sought to establish their own righteousness, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Well, I'm Catholic. I'm Baptist. I'm this, I'm that. God says it won't help you a bit. You can't make your own righteousness. Rough places. There's the rough place of pride. Matthew chapter 2, verses 2 to 4, Jesus says, except a man will humble himself and become like a little child. Matthew 18, 2 to 4. Unless you humble yourself and come like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. I don't know how many people have said, okay, I guess I'll get saved, but I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to do that, or I don't need to. Pride. Jesus said it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. People often think, you know, that little sewing needle, and the older I get, the harder it is to get that little thread through it. Some of you are still young enough, you don't have that problem. Some of us go, I know what you mean. And you think, a camel. Now, but that wasn't what he was talking about. The eye of a needle was a small gate built into city walls. Right beside the big gate. And when it started to get dusk, they closed the big gate so the bandits couldn't come in. And if you came late to the city, the gate would be closed and you'd pound on the gate and they wouldn't open up because there might be bandits hidden out there in the dark. But they'd open up this little tiny door. And it had a rough bottom that went up and down and parts in the ceiling that fell down. So you had to get down and kind of crawl through it. And to take a camel through was just about impossible. But here's what the minimum you had to do. You had to take off all its packs and its saddle and everything it was carrying. And then you had to get it down on its knees and lead it through just crawling on its belly. And you know, the only way we can come to God is on our knees. But pride says, not me. If that's what it'll take, I'd rather go to hell. Now, we might never say those words, but that's what's in our heart. A rough place of pride. You know, that pride is so much. There's a song, it's right in our hymnal. I can give you the number of it. It's right here. Number 677. We are one in the Spirit. Number 677. Do you see what it says? Written by people in the 60s in that pseudo-Christian movement. Verse 3, the third line, and will guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. I hated that song when it first came out as a so-called Christian song. Will save each man's pride. Will stand proudly side by side in a line of Christianity. God help us. Our problem isn't that we need to save our pride. It's we need to lose our pride and humble ourselves. The rough places of pride. And then this one goes right along with it. Luke chapter 19, verse 14. Jesus told a parable and he said, and it's true, and it's what happened in the stable in Bethlehem. It's what Herod did when he sent the soldiers instead of going to bow down. In the King James, Luke 19:14 says, they said, we will not have this man reign over us. Unwillingness to surrender. I'm not willing to do what God says. If God wants me, He'll take me the way I am. The NIV translates it this way. They sent a delegation after him to say, we will not have this man to be our king. We do not want this man to be our king. And there are so many people that hit the rough spot of surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ, and they say, nope. Well, you can be a Christian and not go to church. Maybe. But you cannot become a Christian without surrendering your will about whether you go to church or not and making Jesus the Lord of that decision. Well, I'll become a Christian, but I'm not going to pray. Well, you don't need to pray to become a Christian. That's absolutely true. But you must surrender the decision of whether you pray or not and obey Him. And we think we can make these rules with God. I'll make this, I'll make you a deal. Remember that old show, Let's Make a Deal? Rough places of surrender. And every one of us have to come to that rough place of surrender and have to kneel before Him. If you will confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9. There are mountains. Mountains of the love of sin, mountains of apathy, mountains of ignorance, mountains of the love of this world. There are rough places. I can do it myself. Pride. Surrender. Then third of all, there are valleys. Notice what? The very beginning of Isaiah 40 verse 4 says, every valley will be raised up. There are low places. Let me give you three low places. There's the low place of I'm too bad. God couldn't forgive me. I'm just too bad. Now, in a perverse way, follow me on this, that's actually pride. Think about that for a minute. The person that says, I'm too bad, God can't forgive me, what they're saying is my sin is greater than Jesus' salvation. I am such a mighty sinner that I have sinned so mightily that God could forgive the whole world but not me, because the blood of Jesus just isn't as strong as I am. Look at Romans 6, verse 20. Romans 6, verse 20. Romans 6, verse 20. Romans 6:20. I'm sorry, Romans 5, verse 20. Romans 5, verse 20. The law was added so that the trespasses might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. God's grace is enough. Let me give you another low place. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Oh, what a low place. But you know, there's a truth in that. None of us are worthy. Romans 5:8 says, "For while we were still sinners," Romans 5:8. It's the very definition of unworthy. Christ died for us. Maybe someone would die for a good person. Maybe somebody would die for a righteous person. Oh, but Christ died for the sinner. You'll never be worthy of Christ. If you wait till you get yourself worthy to Christ, if you try to fill in that low place all by yourself, it'll never happen. Number three, this is unbelief. The low place of unbelief. I don't know if God can save me. I've tried so many things and nothing works. There has never been a person in the history of the world who has genuinely given their heart to Christ that He hasn't changed them. Not even one. So much so that an author a little while ago wrote these words. He said, "Christianity has never been tried and found wanting. It's been found hard and therefore left untried." We don't give God an honest shake. We don't come to Him in true faith. We try to meet Him a quarter of the way or a halfway instead of going all the way to the cross. But anyone who goes to the cross, He is able to save to the uttermost. To the uttermost. Those who come through Him. That's the wonderful message of Hebrews. Oh, killing all those animals, those sheep and those goats, that couldn't forgive sin. Oh, but Christ is able. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, they'd had 400 years to prepare, and yet the mountains were still there. The rough places were still there. The valleys were still there. They'd had 400 years to prepare. But the preparations hadn't been made. But before we point a finger and say, "Oh, those people," we have to understand there's been another 2,000 years. Are you prepared today? Have the mountains been removed in your life? Have the rough places been made flat? Have you worn away the stones by seeking the level place at the foot of the cross? The place of humility where you humble yourself like that camel and throw off all the stuff you cling to, whether it's money, whether it's fame, whether it's family, whether it's riches, whether it's pride, whether it's self-accomplishment, whether it's religious identity, you've thrown it all off and you crawl through that narrow door on your stomach. Have you worn away that attitude of I can do it myself? Have you filled in the low places? Jesus is coming again, and this time it won't be in a little manger. And this time there won't be people who get the privilege of rejecting Him. Have you made the preparation for His coming? Let's bow together, O God. Your Word shows us people who were unprepared. No room. Isn't this Joseph's son? Oh, he'll be born over in Bethlehem. No room. Lord, in this room, are there people who have said, no room? No room for Jesus in my busy life. No room for Jesus in my thinking. No room for Jesus in my religion. No room. No room. No preparations had been made. No mountains removed. No rough places made level. No valleys filled in. No room. Oh God, today I pray that for that person, today would be the day that they cast aside the mountains. They crawl over those rough places. Come to the cross of Jesus. His holy name.